Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
Wills Ways to Save, our buddy Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news with me. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. Happy day to Tech the Halls.
Tech the Halls. You posted some good stuff, WTAM.com. Keyword save. What you got there for us this morning?
So one of my favorite things to do is a stocking stuffer size HD audio streaming system. What is HD? Well, high fidelity audio in a very small package. Fits not only into a stocking, but the palm of your hand. We're talking life-proof, waterproof, and just great tech items to add to the gift list. What can you do with this? Well, you can stream the iHeartMedia app in your shower because it is waterproof, it is life-proof. You can answer calls in your shower, stream from a device, Apple or Android, that's nowhere near you. But it's also something that would be great later down the line around the pool, the beach. It's as effective in the rain as it is the snow.
Excellent. How much?
Usually about $62, given that it is HD audio. We're talking $32 today.
Wow.
A big fan of it. And actually, the deceptive thing is the size. A lot of people will look at it and say, oh, it's small. It's not going to do much. It has the output of a boombox. Really strong, loud, and powerful audio, and just a really good streaming system that is stocking ready.
Excellent. All right, we've got that posted. WTAM.com, keyword save. Matt Granite, watch him on 3 this morning. Back here, same time tomorrow. Matt, thanks much.
Awesome.
I have always believed that the people of Alabama had more in common than to divide us. We have shown not just around the state of Alabama, but we have shown the country the way that we can be unified.
That's what we've got to do, is wait on God and let this process play out. Votes are still coming in.
Hey, you know who won from the speeches? Jones, the Democrat, over Roy Moore. President Trump tweeting, congratulations to Doug Jones on a hard-fought victory. The write-in votes played a very big factor, but a win is a win. The people of Alabama are great. Republicans will have another shot at the seat in the very short period of time. It never ends. The tweet from President Trump late last night at the White House. Coming up in 5, our Bill Zimfer on what the win means, short and long term, when it comes to politics in D.C. 5:15 at News Radio, WTAM 1100. Mike Snyder's got your sports mornings, 15-45 past. 3 ball last night, huh?
Yeah, it was wow. Dropping for really everybody, and LeBron was setting the table as he's done whatever it takes for the Cavs to win, and last night he did score 25 points, but it was his passing that was the story. This one was just electric.
Korver in the corner, off a LeBron feed. Korver cans it. LeBron with a behind-the-back pass. From the left point, found Korver in the left corner. Korver now has 5 threes, and the Cavs with some style points have taken a 101-81 lead.
Cavaliers on their way to a 123-114 win. LeBron with 25 points, 17 assists on his passing, he says.
It's always been an enjoyment of mine to be able to see, my teammates reap the benefits of the passes. I just try to put on time and on target, and, my teammates are excellent tonight.
Well, I always thought that was the thing that set him apart from any other high school player I'd ever seen, and it continued throughout his career, and he was just terrific last night. Of course, guys got to make him to get those assists. How about Kyle Korver, 6 of 9 on threes? Cavs were 20 of 38 from long distance. Now, the game also marked the return of Tristan Thompson. He saw limited action in the first half, and that was by design, says Coach Lou.
Well, we wanted to give him a 6 or 7 minute burn in that first quarter, and then the second half, it was already – game plan. He wasn't playing in the second half, so wasn't able to work him back in the second quarter, but we knew he wasn't playing in the second half at all.
Cavs are now 20-8 after a 5-7 start, only 2 behind Boston in the loss column for the best record in the East. They have today off. They'll host Lonzo Ball and the Lakers tomorrow night at 8. Lakers fell to the Knicks in overtime in New York last night. Well, when the Indian season came to an end prematurely in October, Terry Francona was asked about free agent-to-be Brian Shaw.
He was available almost every day of the whole year. He took a lot of pride in it. And having a guy or guys like that out there, I can't tell you how much it means to a manager, to a pitching coach. And carried a lot of work for 5 years.
Yeah, has 5 years of 70 appearances at least in every one of those years, and he's been rewarded with a three-year contract by the Colorado Rockies at $9 million a year, somewhere the Indians could not go financially to keep him. So Shaw, now a Rocky. Carlos Santana is talking to the Rockies, among other teams, including the Tribe Indians right now, holding off other first basemen as they are still hopeful that maybe Carlos will return. From the NFL, Aaron Rodgers has been cleared to play, and the Packers take on the Panthers this week. And Kenny Britt, who took the money and didn't do much of anything with the Browns, has agreed to a two-year contract with the New England Patriots. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM, 1100.
Different time covering politics. Here is the analysis from one Charles Barkley.
Well, this is a wake-up call for Democrats. Your Democrats, and I told Mr. Jones this, and I love Doug, they've taken the black vote and the poor vote for granted for a long time. It's time for them to get off their ass and start making life better for black folks and people who are poor. They've always had our votes, and they have abused our votes, and this is a wake-up call. We got it in a great position now, but this is a wake-up call for Democrats to do better for black people and poor white people.
Charles Barkley, there's more of that video. WillsInsider.com, as Doug Jones evidently has won in Alabama. I say evidently. Let's pick up that story and some reaction with our Bill Zimfer this morning. Bill, good morning. Close, but not close enough for more, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah, it is very close. And as a matter of fact, Roy Moore has yet to concede in this election. The latest estimates are it might have been a 50 to 49% victory for Doug Jones. And Roy Moore has gone so far as to hint that he may call for a recount, although Alabama state officials say they would not back his call for a recount if that's what he does. But again, he has not conceded in this election as of yet, but it looks like Doug Jones is your winner.
Some early reaction to this, Bill?
Well, again, as Charles Barkley said, and boy, he can turn a phrase, can he? As Charles Barkley said, this really sends a signal to both the Republican and the Democratic Party. Reaction? Well, the president tweeted out saying that, he said there were a lot of write-in votes, but a win is a win. I'm not sure exactly what that meant, but the president did tweet out after that. Democrats and others say that the will of the people has been done here. And there are some great headlines out today. The New York Post has one that I'm not even sure I can say on the air, Bill.
I saw that.
It's something about blank you and the horse you rode in on. As of course, he rode a horse to the polling place.
That he did. Hey, one other story I want to pick up on. Tension in the Middle East. Announcement, of course, a week or so ago, President Trump saying, yes, we're going to recognize Jerusalem. And there's been a reaction, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, an emergency meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation just concluded in Istanbul, and there are three main points here among the speakers, who included Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president, also President Erdogan of Turkey, and Jordan's King Abdullah. And their main points are, number one, the decision by the Trump administration is a violation of international law. Number two, there can be no Palestinian state without Jerusalem as its capital. East Jerusalem. And number three, the United States, and maybe this is the biggest, should not be involved in any Middle East peace process.
The analysis of the Middle East and what's going on with our Bill Zimfer this morning. All right, Bill, thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bill.
And your severe weather station. Cavs with a win. Mike Snyder on how they won it in sports coming up. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. Thank you for being there. Movies and some Netflix info on how much we're watching. Entertainment guy Jason Nathanson checks in. All right, let's do it's almost a day-by-day countdown to the latest Star Wars. It'll be released for a lot of us midnight Thursday. Of course, Friday, big showings. What's the news today, Jason?
It's a couple days till it comes out. And today, the reviews will officially come out at 9 o'clock. Pacific time, the official reviews, they're embargoed until then, so you'll start to see a whole bunch of stories online about how good or bad Star Wars is. The initial reactions on Twitter and stuff, people were allowed to post on there, and so we've gotten a lot of stuff people saying
right.
That it's a lot of fun, they like it, it's great. I got a chance to see it, so I can't tell you officially my thoughts, but it's good.
Okay, I'm glad you unofficially told me. Every Star Wars movie has had its own personality, its own little quirks each time, right?
Yes, Absolutely. And this one definitely does. Director Ryan Johnson comes in and he puts his own kind of stamp on things. But it's still very, very much a Star Wars movie. And one of the things I liked about it more than anything else, and this is something a lot of people have said and a lot of the cast have said, it's very funny. Mm-hmm. And I just really like that.
Cool.
You know, in the vein of the Marvel movies and other stuff, there's a lot of humor there.
Good. I like the personality side. Okay. Jason Nathanson, let me get you out of here on this. You sent me a note also about a stat. As I think most people, we use Netflix. It's huge. And there's a huge amount of content on there. How much?
There is. People, and it's all about how much people actually watch. And per day, Netflix just put out these numbers. They say people watch 140 million hours of content per day. Per day. 140 million hours. That's 1,600 years of TV watching every 24 hours. This is around the world, and there are, you know, more than 100 million people who watch around the world. They say that also some other stats. The biggest streaming day of the year, January 1st, each year on average a user will watch 60 movies, and they say they can track all this stuff. They say one person, one Netflix member, has watched Pirates of the Caribbean, the first film, 365 days in a row.
Wow. Got nothing else to do, maybe. Netflix. We're using it now, working through Blue Bloods. Really enjoying it. All right. Jason Nathanson, thanks, partner.
Sure thing.
List of the Rock called Bon Jovi, which came in number one in the fan voting. Cars came in fourth therein. Dire Straits third in the voting therein. Moody Blues actually came in second therein. Nina Simone as well. And Judas Priest in the top five in fan voting, but not in the list for 2018 for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock Hall, joins us at 7:40. Talk more about the process and what now with the Rock Hall and, of course, the big induction come April. With that in mind, Joe Roman heads up the Greater Cleveland Partnership in studio. Talk about a few things about our town. And let's just continue on the Rock Hall for a second because we know the history back and forth. It is so nice having the event here. It's truly an event. And it took a lot to get behind it. Corporate community, you know this. Everybody had to get in on this thing, right?
It did. You know what? My funny story about the Rock Hall is, or the whole industry is, when we first started working on the Rock Hall in the late 80s and early 90s, most of my board members didn't even know what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame might be. Today, I have a chairman who actually is in a rock and roll band. That's how things have moved over 30 years.
Great point. It's a big part of our town, and next April we've got the induction. Okay. Joe Roman, and let me run a couple things by. We're talking off the air, and for a variety of reasons. I've been a fan of Dave's Supermarkets for so long in this town. They believe in community, and that story continues, right?
They absolutely do. Where Dave's locates, great things tend to happen because they are solid. They realize what a supermarket can mean to a community if it's high quality. And they know that developers then start looking at land around those locations. This most recent one that we've actually invested in Midtown, will follow up on some great things in Midtown, but also create Midtown as another new housing opportunity for the city. It's a great in-between University Circle and downtown. But if you're going to live there, you need that easy access to food. And that's what Dave's does. Ohio City, elsewhere, they invest in the community for the long term.
The drive from Euclid out, or however you want to get to the clinic.
Right.
That's, to me, the next area.
Yeah, that.
And that's kind of what we're talking about. Midtown, it's going to take a while.
Midtown Opportunity Corridor, the investment that RTA made in their rail line, bus rail line that goes from downtown. Just, you know, people come from all over the country to study that line that RTA has put in. And they're doing it again on the west side, as you saw the ribbon cutting earlier this year. Again, between what's happening in the Opportunity Corridor area and the West 25th Street area, we have two neighborhoods of our community that can really explode over the next 15 years.
Joe Roman of the Greater Cleveland Partnership for a couple more minutes. The federal government and the tax reform bill, it's in conference, but I've heard a lot of things that might affect communities. Tax credits. You've been to D.C. a couple times. Historic tax credits. Some of these things that have really been used by Cleveland and other cities to do some great things, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we have some people there today. So the historic tax credits and the new markets tax credits have been incredible tools for our community. Our organization itself has garnered over $200 million of new markets tax credit that we've put back into the community. Cuyahoga County is the 10th largest county in the country in terms of receiving those awards, and we put them to great use, including things like the whole new Salvation Army campus that people think about what we do downtown.
Great point.
But those credits help things like the Salvation Army portfolio. We were just at their new place in East Cleveland last week. Amazing stuff that they're doing in the community in tandem with lots of other people. They're credits we can't afford to lose. We are a community unlike others, especially in the Southwest, where historic credits are critical because we have buildings we want to save and we want to make them a part of our community.
Let's go to the airport here for a couple things. It looks like the numbers for Hopkins, and I want to ask you about business in general, but the numbers for Hopkins looks like a good year.
Very, 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 right? Very, very good year. We've caught back up to where we were when United had a hub here. They're still a big carrier here, but when they had a hub, we're back to that point. But maybe even the better news in terms of that transformation is that our prices have gone down considerably. Once you see that competition and you see the new air carriers that have come in here over the last 2 years, that excites everybody, creates new opportunities for everybody, and we're all benefiting from
You've
it.
You've had some international travel yourself.
Yes.
More of that on the future?
I think there is. It's amazing. We were hoping that WOW Airlines and then Iceland Air, which came in same day, would start to get attention for this market in mm-hmm. terms of its connections to the international community, and that's happening. So I hope that in 2018 we're going to see some additional international. But I would recommend to everybody, if you if you're interested or if you've never been to Europe, try WOW Airlines. Try Iceland Air. It's a very, very inexpensive way to get there, and then you can enjoy yourself. My daughter just flew to Rotterdam through Iceland and had a great time.
Get you out of here on this, as I ask a lot of people. So how's business for you? We came off a tremendous year before with the RNC. This year year?
It's been a tremendous year. The momentum is continuing for our own organization. Came off of a very successful RNC. Moved into our new strategy study effort, which we'll announce early next year.
Okay.
We're seeing lots of opportunities. We're seeing lots of outsiders reexamining Cleveland as a place to invest. Hopefully we'll get an Amazon headquarters, but we got 3,000 jobs from Amazon in 2017.
Don't take those.
And an additional 900 from the Progressive Insurance Company. That's huge, and I think it's going to continue.
Big new headquarters for Amazon. I haven't missed anything. Nothing.
No,
really,
you haven't missed anything. Okay. My guess is sometime early next year, if they want to stay on schedule, they'll pick some number of cities to probably go visit, so that they can kick the tires and make sure that what they read in terms of what we submitted is actually true and doable. And here it is and will be.
Joe Roman, Greater Cleveland Partnership. Great to see you as always. Thanks for your partnership. You keep us in the loop on business at WTAM, and we thank you, pal.
This was my first album, I think.
You think this one?
Yeah.
They're in now. Good to see you. Have a great. You still got the album? It'd be worth something.
I think so, yeah.
Your kids want to play it now, right? Have a great Christmas too, Brent.
You too.
I've got 17. It feels like 9 at your severe weather station.
Won't you take me back to school? I need to learn the golden rule.
News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Greg Harris, is with us. The list officially announced this morning. Greg, before you give me the list, give me the process. I know the fans had their say. Then what happened?
Sure. The fans have their say. There were 6 million votes cast online, as well as all the other inductees. They get the vote on the ballot as well. And the top five vote getters are elected to the Hall of Fame. Remarkably, the early influence was added as well, so that made it 6. Remarkably, 4 of the 5 top fan votes. Vote getters were inducted as well, so the fan vote lined up with the experts and the inductees vote quite well, and they're all going to be inducted right here in Cleveland, Ohio, come April of next year.
So at first glance, there's no controversy because the fan vote lines up with the boardroom, I guess, huh?
It does. It syncs up quite well. I think the one band that was in the top five that didn't make it in the end was Judas Priest. But it was their first time on the ballot, and there will be other chances. And this is an incredible class that we have right here.
Greg, you got to be thrilled. This promises to be just an incredible night in Cleveland.
Absolutely. By the way, happy birthday, Mike Snyder.
Well, thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. Thank you.
talking about. We're very excited. The Moody Blues have been eligible since 1989, and they go on the ballot and they get in their first year. They're on the ballot. A massive band with a wonderful following. Of course, Bon Jovi, huge Northeast Ohio following, and just a great arena rocker that's bringing us all anthems. The Cars, with a good Cleveland connection. You know, Ben Orr and Rick Ocasek met in Cleveland, and I believe they went to, I think it was Brooklyn High School, or one of them went to Brooklyn High School, and they thought it was a Boston band, but really they're Cleveland boys. The Dire Straits, incredible band out of England, as well as Nina Simone and Sister Rosetta Tharpe. So this is a great class.
Talk about Nina and Sister Rosetta, because that early influence award I think is very important as well, Greg.
Absolutely. So Sister Rosetta Tharpe is called the godmother of rock and roll. She didn't influence the Beatles and Stones. She influenced Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard. She was an electric guitar playing gospel singer. Google her and watch her. You will get goosebumps. Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And then Nina Simone, just an unparalleled vocalist. She tackled important themes. She was really a heavy, major influence on many, many rockers after her. And she really is a great fit for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And again, people should discover Nina Simone if you don't know her. But really, music people all know her and celebrate her.
Well, I tell you, Greg, I'm excited about this class, and I like so many of them there. But I'm also happy, too, that finally now, after every year for the last 5 years or so, I always see when you announce them and they had not been on the list, the Moody Blues. I'll stop getting texts. Well, where are the Moody Blues? Well, they're going to be in the Rock Hall.
That's a big one, you know. It's they are a fan favorite. They have been eligible a long time. In their sort of pocket of rock and roll, Rush and Genesis and Yes all went in. The Moody Blues are now Rock and Roll Hall of Famers.
Let me get you out of here on this. I see on the Rock Hall Twitter feed, they're already retweeting something from Bon Jovi, how excited he is. Also, there was a tweet I saw earlier, and I got to get down to the Rock Hall over the holidays. Zach Brown, his hat's in there on display. It's a part of that Petty Rockin' part of the Rock Hall, right?
You know, it's a great thing. We're talking about next spring. There's a ton happening right here at the museum. Anybody that wants to see the 2017 induction class, Pearl Jam and Journey, they should get down here right away. It's only here for a few more weeks. We've got other great exhibits. We're opening up a brand new Beatles exhibit in time for the Christmas holiday. We don't want that to get lost. The induction is a big, big story.
Sure.
But there's also great things happening down here at the museum.
Bon Jovi, The Cars, Dire Straits, Moody Blues, Nina Simone, and Sister Rosetta Tharpe for the early influence for the Rock Hall class, April 14th, inducted here in Cleveland. Greg Harris, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, thanks for the partnership. Have a great holiday, too, okay?
Thank you. You as well, and have a great day.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope you're well.
We are. We're a week into Dorsey. Let me ask you this. As a former GM, I don't know if there's a good or a bad time to take a job. He takes this with a few games left. I think he left the press conference, and before he got back to his desk, released Kenny Britt, so that was a quick move last week. What's your early take, and maybe the challenges of taking a job like this, you know, being told the coach is going to stay regardless, some of the early challenges, the short-term to-do and the long-term to-do, if you're Dorsey?
Well, I think it's a huge advantage because you get a chance to go in there and take inventory over the course of 4 weeks with not only the players, but the coaching staff. He gets a head start with the scouting staff in terms of some of their preliminary draft meetings, gets a chance to meet some of the other people in the organization that are involved in the other departments that he has to have a working relationship with. So I think it's a tremendous advantage coming in early like this versus, you know, being hired in January and having to build relationships with players and coaches that you don't really know that well. So I think John is in an advantageous spot. I think when you read his comments, and as a former scout, a guy that cut his teeth with the Packers, I mean, there were a lot of people that were interested in that Browns job because of the volume of draft picks in the spring's draft, and also the amount of cap space. It's going to be over close to $100 million by the time the Browns get to March.
Phil, this really is an attractive job, isn't it? Because I saw a lot of people say, well, why would you want to go there? Maybe he could have gone to other places. But for what you just said, if you want to mold something for a hungry fan base that is starved, a starving hungry fan base, this is the place. This is a great opportunity. They could build a monument for John Dorsey if he can get this thing figured out.
Well, and I tell you the other thing, and no one has really pointed this out, but the Browns are on the doorstep of having all these assets where they're building a younger team. Obviously, they have the youngest team in the league right now. It could potentially get younger even next year with all these draft picks. But Ben Roethlisberger, older. Joe Flacco, older. Marvin Lewis, 15 years into the Bengals tenure. Maybe a change there at the end of the season. So while the other three teams in the division have had tons of continuity and stability, they look like they're at least on the front edge, the beginning stages of maybe making some transitions themselves. And that's been, of course, an uphill battle for the Browns to try to compete against those other three franchises that have had so much stability through the years.
Phil, though, they do need to add some veterans via free agency. I think one of the things that we've seen this year, they just can't close out a game. They need more help there, don't they?
Well, I think one thing that John Dorsey can do is, with his past at Kansas City most recently and then Green Bay before that, he's going to have a number of veteran players with those franchises and also scattered across the league that he likely can lean on. I think the most difficult thing for him, honestly, and I guess going into the door, he knew that Jimmy Haslam was going to say that Hugh Jackson would be back in 2018. I'm very anxious to see, with the remaining three games now and the Browns sitting at 0-13, you know, what's the reality of that situation, because he does get a chance to assess not only the full coaching staff, but Hugh Jackson himself.
That's a great point. Now, you know, we've heard like, well, Hugh will be comfortable with a more traditional GM as opposed to the way they were going. But then, as you just said, for Dorsey to feel that it's his guy, there's always that they want, you know, your own guy in there. That is something to watch now, no matter what the owner has said about Hugh Jackson being back, isn't it?
Well, to me, if you're a GM going in with a month left in the season, like I say, you're going in to make an assessment on everything. And, you know, to go in into that circumstance with your hands tied on the two things that he has to get right, quarterback and coach. If he gets those two positions right, really the rest of it doesn't even matter, because that's been the biggest challenge for the Browns over the last 19 years, quite honestly. And so to say that one of those decisions has already been made, I'm just not 100,000% convinced that that's the case.
Phil Savage, best team coverage of the Browns, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Phil, I'm going to be out a couple of weeks. I know you'll still be here visiting with Mike, but God bless you. All the best to you and your family for Christmas, and catch up soon, okay?
Absolutely. Have a great holiday, Bill, and we will catch up in 2018, my friend.
Look forward to it, pal. Phil Savage, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Here's coverage with Wills and Snyder on WTAM 1100. Brought to you by Huntington this morning. Want a bank that believes in looking out for its customers? Welcome to Huntington. Campy Russell on the line after a 123-114 win last night. Campy, good morning. It was three-ball night last night, right?
Bill, there's no question it was three-ball last night. I just thought that this team is really showing everybody in our entire league that we are a much more balanced basketball team. We are a team that can get it done in a lot of different ways. And the three ball definitely showed up big time last night in terms of just how we continue to be solid defensively. But as you just talked about, the three ball was a big part of what we do at this particular point.
And Campy, LeBron with 17 assists, matching his career high. He just, every night, whatever it takes is what he does, isn't he?
Well, he's been doing that for the last, 15 years now. And really, you look at LeBron, to me, he's gotten better. And what I mean by that is, you know, now he's beginning to knock down those mid-range shots. He's hitting the three. He's being very efficient in terms of shot selection. And he's rebounding the ball extremely well. And he's leading this team in a big way. He and Dwayne Wade, both of those guys have done a great job. But LeBron James just continues to show me night in and night out that he's truly one of the best player, the best player in the world at this particular point.
KB, you just mentioned it, the mid-range game. Now, he's making some threes. We know what he does when he goes to the basket. If he's making mid-range, there's nothing the defense can do, is there?
Well, really, he's unguardable at this particular point. Again, you know, in the past, teams used to try to back off of him and make him take a jump shot. Now they don't know what to do. If they come to him, he go by him. If they stand there, he knocks down the mid-range, and then he goes all the way out to the three-point line. So right now, there's no question in my mind the guy is unguardable, and the type of team that he has with him in terms of what he has around him makes it even better for him, because everybody on our team is a threat now out there on the floor, of passing, scoring, rebounding. So the balance of our team has definitely made LeBron James a much better player as well. I got to believe this is the best, the most talent that he's had around him and all the teams that he's been around.
And it's really a bench that's kind of the guys know their role when they come into the game. And I really, as I was watching last night's game, Campy, I was thinking, hey, Kobe Altman ought to get a little credit here. He signed Jose Calderon, Jeff Green. They do the extension with Korver. And you look at the way those three veterans have played, they've just been terrific for this team.
Well, again, you're absolutely right. Kobe has definitely done a great job. I think he took a good look at what we needed and what we needed to improve at. And there's no question that we definitely needed to improve ourselves from a bench perspective. And this year, you know, you look at Jeff Green coming in here, you know, D-Wade is coming here. You know, so you look at what we have around LeBron and the rest of our team, we are suited at this particular point to win the whole thing. You know, I know it's still early, but this team is just playing outstanding basketball, and we have all the tools that we need. And those tools, every single night, shows up and has been very effective throughout the entire season thus far.
Good take, and we got some guys coming back, to add to this. LeBron with 25 last night, tying a career high, 17 assists too. Campy and Mike, let me get you guys here out of here on this. The Lakers come to town Thursday night. It's the Lakers. It's a franchise. It's L.A. It's always been a bit of a circus, but this ball thing, Campy, it's made it a different kind of circus with the Lakers, it seems, you know?
Well, it is somewhat of a circus, but this young man, Ball, I believe in this young man. I think he's going to be a very good player in our league. This is a young team that is still trying to find their way. And you look at Luke Walton, he's done a great job of keeping this team together and trying to build confidence in this basketball team, because they got a bunch of young players that I believe are going to be, that's going to really at some point turn this whole thing around, because they have too much talent. Lonzo Ball is there, but you have Larry Nance Jr., Julius Randle, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon English. I mean, this is a very talented young team. But it's going to take some time for them to put themselves in a winning situation.
You know, those in the game all speak so highly of Lonzo that he really is a great kid. But, you know, his dad is so vocal and out there, and he was courtside yesterday. I'm assuming he'll be here tomorrow with his brothers. So that's part of the show that goes with it. But Lonzo, the people really seem like he's just a guy who wants to play and learn the game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what he's doing. You know, I think he understands, you know, who his dad is. But at the same time, I think he's done a great job of keeping his own head, that he hasn't lost it. He continues to try to stay within what he does out there on the floor, and he's still trying to lead this basketball team in terms of the Lakers in the right direction. So I believe in this young man. I believe he's going to be a very good player in this league. You know, a lot of times when you are, you know, one of the top players, there's a lot of great expectations for you. But I think we have to give him some time, because this young man will definitely be a very good player in our league. I believe he will be an all-star in our league.
Good take, Campy Russell, on your Cavs, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers, and Lakers here tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Thanks, Campy.
All right, guys.